Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
I just think that this book we're going through, Colossians, really fits perfect with the kind of the wave our society is riding right now, the wave our culture is riding right now. Paul is writing this letter from a jail in Rome, incarcerated in Rome. He's 1,000 miles away from the city of Colossae, and he's writing to these believers. They're in this city of Colossae. Some of them are Jewish, some of them are Greek, some of them are Phrygia, so Gentiles. It was a real eclectic group of believers, different backgrounds, different races, different traditions, and different cultures. Kind of see some similarities here. Paul's writing to them because they had found common ground by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Their common ground was Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Savior, and they had found truth and light and life in Jesus. But they were getting it from all sides. And the Jesus that they were being taught was a different Jesus than whom they'd believed in. Because men had come into the church and were beginning to say things about Jesus that just weren't so. They began to spin Jesus. They were kind of living in the spin zone. We kind of could relate to that, can't we? I mean, even in our political climate right now, you know, you flip on the whatever channel you want to watch, I don't care. And you have candidates that are running for the office of president that it seems like, it's like, man, you really got to pay attention. Sometimes they're saying one thing, sometimes they're saying another, two different conversations, but they're saying opposite things. Like, whoa, wait, what's going on here? It's like they're spinning it faster than we can, you know, keep track of it. And then you listen to the pundits, and it's like, whoa, you know, it's like, man, well, I guess as far as elections go, a sidebar, pay attention to what men and women say and do. Pay attention to their record. Pay attention to their lives. Pay attention to everything that's being said before you mark the box, so to speak. Don't just listen to one person or one pundit or one network, but really do your homework. But more important even than our political culture right now, the church in Colossae was getting a lot of information about Jesus that was partially true, but a lot of it was not true. It was like the skin of truth stuffed with a lie. And we see more and more of that in our society, in our culture today. Partial truths, partial lies, but even happens in regards to Jesus. And this is what was happening in Colossae. And these believers who had come to faith, now Paul's not there. In fact, the church of Colossae was probably started by Epaphras, maybe by Philemon, who had gone to Ephesus to hear Paul preach and became believers. Of course, Philemon, you know, Paul wrote a letter to Philemon and exhorting him to receive Onesimus in as a brother. He formerly had been a slave or a servant of Philemon, and Paul had written to him. But Philemon probably had a house church right there in Colossae. And so there was this church that grew there. Now, Colossae wasn't a significant cultural center. Its day had kind of passed. And Ephesus was about 80 miles away. It was more of a cultural center. Laodicea was about, I don't know, 20 miles away, I think. And Laodicea was even a bigger city. In fact, John wrote about Laodicea, right, in Revelation. So Colossae was kind of a smaller town, not super significant, but what made it significant to Paul was that there were believers there that needed to hear the truth about Jesus. and they were beginning to be deceived. And really, the reality is that whatever city, whatever generation, there are two questions that always need to be answered, that we always need to have an answer for. And that is, who is Jesus? And how do we live our lives following Jesus? Who is Jesus and how do we live our lives following Jesus? And that's what Paul is writing to Colossae. That's what he's writing to us, saying, hey, this is Jesus, and this is how you follow him. And he really lays it out. And I love this book. It's so great. It's a great theology book. And you know, as believers, every single Christian should be a theologian. What? Yeah. Every single Christian should study God. Should be in the Bible seeing what God says about himself and how to follow him. We all need to be theologians, every single one of us. Because what we believe about Jesus will be reflected in the way we live our lives. What we believe about Jesus will be reflected in the way we live our lives. Or simply, our theology will impact our living. And Paul is writing because in Colossae, like in our culture, the churches today, Jesus was being misrepresented. It was kind of the ultimate identity theft. I think probably most of us have encountered that at some level or another. Someone has stole your identity, or at least your credit card, you know, and made some purchases, and you get your bill, and you go, what the heck? I wasn't in Brazil, you know. Whatever the case may be, identity theft. But this is what was happening with Jesus, and this is what's happening in our day and age too. Jesus is being misrepresented, and that's why this book is so important. Men were teaching another Jesus, not a resurrected Savior. In fact, what was going on, these men that were called the Gnostics were coming in, and they were teaching that Jesus was a man, yes, but he wasn't God. In fact, God kind of came and emanated this man, Jesus. But when Jesus died on the cross, you know, God kind of pulled back and Jesus died, but God didn't die because, Jesus became sin and God can't have anything to do with sin, so he couldn't have become sin and died on a cross. So it was just this confusing spirituality that made no logical sense. And then they came up with these rules that people had to do to abide by these secret things. You know, there's always a buy-in. And they came in up with their buy-ins. You have to do this if you want to be saved. Well, we see this even today in these cults, because that's what this was, these Gnostics. They was like an original cult because they twisted the truth about Jesus. And they twisted the truth about following Jesus. And there's cults today all over that do the same thing. But Paul is writing to set the record straight. He's writing to set the record straight. And he's writing from 1,000 miles away. I love this. I love that he's thinking about these guys, you know? Here he is. He's incarcerated himself, yet he's thinking about this town of Colossae 1,000 miles away and about the believers there. So let's start reading in Colossians verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul identifies himself as an apostle chosen by God, and he was. Paul was chosen by God, and he was told from the beginning, and we've studied this in Acts 9, that he would go and he would preach Jesus. He was told that he was going to preach Jesus to Gentiles, to kings, to the children of Israel, and that he was going to suffer for Jesus. And that's what happened with Paul. He went and he preached everywhere, and he suffered. He was beaten. He was stoned. You name it. It happened to Paul. And here he's in jail writing, and he actually includes Timothy, his young protege, and he says, grace and peace to you. I don't know about you. I'd have been probably writing, hey, guys, come get me out of here, you know? or please bring me some cash or some slippers or something. I don't know, you know. But Paul writes, grace and peace to you. Grace and peace. So much better than how we kind of greet each other, huh? What's up? How's it going? Paul's like, grace and peace to you. He just has this enthusiasm. He wants to bless. He wants to give this great introduction to these fellow believers. Grace and peace to you. And man, he just wishes the best for them. There's this joy in his introduction here. He says, verse 3, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as it has to the whole world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declares to us your love in the Spirit. So Paul says he not only greets them with grace and peace, now he starts to tell them he's thanking God for them and that all that God is doing in them and through them. And you know what else he does? He reminds them of their beginning. He reminds them of their beginning here. I'm thanking God for you, for your love for the saints, and for the hope laid up for you in heaven. But because, he says, you heard and believed the truth of the gospel. Reminding them where it all started. Because you heard and believed the truth of the gospel. And Paul takes them back to that point when they believed and when they put their faith in Christ. What an amazing day for them, right? What an amazing day for us. Do you remember the day you put your faith in Christ? Do you remember the day whether you were sitting in one of these chairs here, or maybe you were sitting over on campus, or maybe you were sitting over on Jamboree, or maybe you were in Riverside, or maybe you were at Angel Stadium, or maybe it was someplace else, but God spoke to your heart, and you realized you were a sinner that needed a Savior, and that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, life. Do you remember that day? Paul takes them back to that day because it's important that we remember that. That we go back to the day when we believed in Christ. The day we put our faith in Christ. Oh man, I remember the day. Actually, you know, I had 2 days. How do you have 2 days? Well, I was 7 years old when I received. I remember praying with my mom and dad, born again Christians. One night, just kind of hanging out on my bed, reading the Bible, trying to understand as much as I could. And John 3:16, kind of mulling around in my head and thinking, well, I want to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven. So I went in and told my parents. So they came in and they prayed with me and I received Christ. And I remember the day and I thought, okay, that's a good deal. But when I hit junior high and high school and college, I spent more time running from God than running to Him. And I was 20 years old when I was sitting in Riverside, California, listening to Pastor Greg preach about Jesus telling people, if you're not for me, you're against me. And I knew, man, I wasn't for Christ. And I walked down the aisle. It was a Sunday morning. I was probably the first one up there. And I was like, I mean, I was ready to go. It's like, and I gave my life to Christ. I surrendered my life to Christ. Was I a Christian at 7? I think I probably was. But I remember those 2 days. But as a man, you know, the Bible says that we need to come to Him, we need to humble ourselves as a child. Well, I did it as a child and I did it as a young man too. But do you remember the day you gave your life to Christ? You surrendered your life to Christ? That's an important day. And Paul's reminding them of this because it's good to go back and remember. Remember the day we gave our life to Christ, not to go back and remember, oh man, oh the sin that you were involved with, you know. Oh, the parties, oh, the girls, oh, all of this. You know, sometimes you hear testimonies, it's like, what? You know, more excited about your past than you are your salvation. I remember before Christ, I remember sin was pleasurable for a season, but it brings forth death, right? That's what the Bible says. Sin kills everything. It destroys everything. But Jesus came and gave us life. And we remember that. Paul says, you heard the word of truth, the gospel, and it's bringing forth truth. It's bringing forth fruit. And guess what? I'm thanking God for you and praying for you. I love that. Paul's praying for them. So I got two questions.